It's Divas That Care Radio, stories, strategies, and ideas to inspire positive change. Welcome to Divas That Care, a network of women committed to making our world a better place for everyone. This is a global movement for women, by women, engaged in a collaborative effort to create a better world for future generations. To find out more about the movement, visit divasthatcare.com after the show. Right now, though, stay tuned for another jolt of inspiration.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Divas That Care. My name is Candace Gish. If this is your very first time tuning into the Divas That Care, a huge welcome. We are now in our 14th year. We are listed over 30 countries around the world. And honestly, it is because of all of our amazing, extraordinary guests, our tribe, our hosts, everybody that's really been a part of the Divas That Care. That's why we're able to do what we're doing, and we're having so much fun doing it. So I'm so glad that you've joined us today. All right, we are going to be welcoming back a past diva. I'm so excited to be chatting with her and catching up. Her name is Jean Brannon. So Jean, welcome back to the Divas That Care.
Well, hello, Candace. How are you doing? I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
Well, we're going to have so much fun today. I'm beyond excited about today. Jean, I know it's been a while, so I'm going to ask you if you could reintroduce yourself to maybe our new listeners today.
Well, absolutely. So my name is Jean Brannon, and I am an author and an acupuncturist, and I am in the business of promoting positivity. I just am really doing my best to just model that in everything that I do. So my treatments, my writing, everything centers around promoting an uplifting, a positive, self-caring energy. And any way that I can help somebody else feel a little better, feel a little happier, see the glass half full as opposed to half empty, that's really what lights me up, and it's my focus. So
I love that. Why did you become an author, Jean? I'm beyond excited just to hear about this. You know, we've talked a lot about with other authors, you know, and there's always something that triggers them to start writing. And I'm so excited to hear about what your trigger was.
So my trigger actually happened when I was in eighth grade, and I really started paying attention in a deeper way to English class. And we started reading classic literature. And from eighth grade on, I started thinking, wow, I wonder if I could ever do this because I love books so much. And I thought, well, I don't know, but it's a great dream. And so I started, you know, writing for the school paper and for the yearbook. And every opportunity that I got to write like a little essay or something, I would take it. And, you know, by the time I was in high school, I had an English teacher, Mrs. Gwynn, that really was encouraging me. She said, you know, I really like how you write, and I think that you could really make a living at this. And it was just the one little bit of pure positivity that fed my hope. And so I wound up, it's interesting because I did go to college and I studied journalism and advertising, and I was in the corporate world for a while. And so I wrote for the school paper in that capacity. And then when I was out in the big world, you know, I was an advertising copywriter. So I had always been around words because I love words. I feel that, you know, they're magical. And so, but I never, even though I loved what I did, I always said to myself, you know, I'd love to be back in Mrs. Gwynn's class, and I'd love to really be working on something that is of my own creation that could really help people. I've always wanted to just speak to people in a way that would help them feel better about themselves and about the world. And so when I was, you know, in my 20s, I didn't feel like I had anything to say, interestingly enough. So I just was like, one of these days, I will write a book when I feel like I have something really empowering to say. And so it took me a while to get to that place. But, you know, when I decided that I really, really, really was going to do this, I sat down and I decided every day I am going to write from a place of non-judgment. I am going to put words on paper, even if I don't feel like doing it. And it actually had been a crossroads in my life because my partner of 13 years had died, and I was in the process of reinventing my life. I was working as an acupuncturist, and I was running a farm, and I was enjoying life. But I, for me personally, when I had that level of loss, I was doing a lot of deep soul searching, and I said to myself, you know what? I really need to do this. And I feel like at this point, I've had enough experiences that I can put something together that feels empowering to people. And that's what I did. And the first book that I wrote, Atlantis Rising, was it's in the vein of a love story. But you know, I've always loved adventure. I've always loved mythology. And I married that to a love story. And it helped in my own healing. But it also was about showing characters that move from a place of not feeling empowered into remembering who they are and their inherent power and self-worth and how to explore that and how to emulate that. So that's really what got me into it. And I really haven't stopped ever since. I mean, every day, even if it's for a few words or whatever, I really do my best to just show up every day, pen in hand, or I am an old typewriter nerd, and I love just typing things on an old typewriter as well.
Oh, I love that.
Well, it's, you know, it's whether it's pen in hand or sitting in front of like I have my grandmother's 1930 Smith Corona, and I love typing on that. It just feels it just feels good. You know, there's no tech that's in the way of it. It's very old fashioned, and there's nothing to impede the flow. And I've even encouraged other writers, because, you know, a lot of times I'll get asked about what are good tips for writers? And I'm like, you know what? Get yourself an old typewriter and don't worry about hitting the correction in any which way. Don't even get correct tape, you know, just put an X over it and keep going, because it encourages, I feel, just the idea. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just get it down. It's all good. You know,
I love that tip. I think that's absolutely brilliant. You know, your old school, when you start doing that.
Yes.
My kids laugh at me. Because they're like, how do you look at the keyboard and you're not even looking at the keyboard. You're just typing. It's like, well, in school, it's like, that's what we had to learn. We weren't allowed to look. So I just love that. I actually miss typewriters, to be honest. So when you said that, I'm like, oh, maybe that's something I should try.
Candace, go in search of an old typewriter. I think you will absolutely love it. It's just wonderful. I mean, to me, it's so inspiring, and it's just, it's old tech that is so old school, but it's just there. And finding a keyboard that really, no pun intended, clicks with you. You know, they're all different. So
I actually looked online for one, and I saw some. I'm like, oh, would that be weird if I got something like that? But I'm thinking, nope, I think that's actually what I need.
That's awesome. Let me know what you decide and what you find really is your keyboard, because I think you will find it, you know?
I'm going to. That's going to be my goal for this week. Thank you. I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to ask you, Jean, now we're going to be talking about book two. Is this a continuation of your first book?
Yes. So in December, the sequel came out, Atlantis Splitting, and it is book two, and yet it is a standalone. So someone could literally pick this up. You're in the middle of the story, but everything is included for clarity. And so the continuation of the story, though, it expands to different planets. It's not just an Earthbound, mostly story. It expands to different planets. There are a lot of characters that are introduced. There are so many characters that I wanted to try to make it easier for people to keep up with who's being introduced. And so there's even a dictionary at the back so you can look up characters. You can look up, there's an old tongue dictionary, because old tongue is the old school language. It's based mostly on Sanskrit, that's included throughout the work. And so I wanted people to be able to just quickly and easily go to the back and in alphabetical order, just look for the word. If you can't remember what word that was in chapter 5 and you're on chapter 20, you can go and look it up. And so, you know, I wanted to make it easy for people, but what the theme, one of the central themes of this book is about the characters are in, pretty much every character in the book is in their version of the dark night of the soul. And that's not meant to be depressing. What that's meant to be is an introduction to showing you can be in your deepest, darkest place, but there's always hope and there's always help. And a lot of times that comes from the most unexpected place or face. So in other words, sometimes you'll see in this work that the characters that you thought were quote unquote the bad guy, maybe they're actually the knight in shining armor. And so in essence, Candace, what I'm really trying to do with this is to let people read a book that teaches we should all just drop our judgments, whatever they are. It doesn't matter whatever it is that you're judging. Whenever you feel judgment, you cannot feel love. Bruce Lipton has done a lot of interesting research and proven that. And it's an interesting concept to me. So anytime something comes up in life and I feel a judgment, I try to look at my dogs, you know, because dogs understand that. They stay in a place of unconditional love. And so this book is really about that, about, you know, wrapping a story around this theme of, hey, we're all in this. It's all is one and everything really is okay. Everything is unfolding perfectly. Even in the midst of chaos, it's all good. We just need to remember that we can be in this deepest, darkest place where we think there's no exit strategy, but there can be help if we just drop our judgment, feel the love, and see what presents itself. That's really the essence of it.
I love that. I'm so excited to be reading it. I do want to ask you, what age is this for? Like what demographics, what were you looking for readership for this?
Well, so what's interesting is that to me comes back to that non-judgmental place. I would say most people that read the first book, because it was heavy into romance, most of the readers are your women age 30 to 60. Now, I've had a lot of people contact me that are outside of those parameters, people that are a lot younger, but the oldest reader that I know of that has contacted me was 84. And I thought that was cool. So, but this book, one of the things that appeals to me is getting younger people to read books that have been intentionally created to be uplifting, because there's a lot of negativity in the world. I think we all could agree that, you know, sometimes we have to look for the positive because fear can be everywhere. So what I would love is if younger and younger people would read books like what I've written, because it really is about teaching a mindset. And I feel, you know, if I'd had this book as a teenager, first of all, it would have given me a way of structuring my thinking toward always looking for something positive in the midst of things that don't feel so positive. So I think the earlier that kids can get introduced to that kind of thinking, that's how we really influence this whole planet to be a more positive and uplifted place. So
I like that.
Well, that's my goal mm-hmm. anyway. I just want everybody to feel uplifted, and there's no profanity in this. I mean, there aren't what people would, I think, you know, if parents would be concerned about bad words, you know, I tried to soften a lot of that. There are some characters that do some kind of negative things, but it's in the context of teaching a bigger lesson. So,
well, that's going to be excellent, because I know a lot of parents that I can definitely recommend this to them.
I think it would be awesome, you know, to just get the conversation started. And it's not about this particular work. I think it's about the concept, because I'm always just interested in any which way that I can. If I'm at the store, if I'm at the bank, if I'm in my front yard and a neighbor walks by, I just want to have a conversation about let's look at what's positive. Let's look at what can we do to help? What can we do to help the community or help the world, you know? Yeah. And if we develop that, I just think it spreads. It's contagious, you know, hope is contagious.
Definitely.
If you allow for it. So
exactly. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited about this. Jean, where can a person go and purchase one of your books?
Well, so my books are available at all the major outlets, you know, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, the publisher's website. I absolutely love publishing. Anything can be purchase there. And what I like about our publisher is every book that's being sold on that website is about promoting good in the world. So I feel completely aligned with that message. Let's promote good. Let's promote positivity. Let's promote smiles. And so, yes, but anywhere that you buy books, you can buy this book. So
perfect. And just to let our listeners know, I will be posting this on our social media so you guys can go and check them out.
Awesome.
Jean, is there going to be a third book in this installment?
Yes, I'm working on that now. As a matter of fact, I started that the very day that I submitted the final manuscript, and of book two. And so I am deep into research and writing on book three, and I'm doing I'm doing the whole draft, first of all, by hand, by writing. I write all of my concepts out by hand in pen and paper, and then I take it to one of my typewriters. I have four vintage typewriters.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I literally see who wants to play today. And so, the newest typewriter that I have is a 1959. And so, but I just love that. And so there is something about it. And I do want to encourage any writers out there, just get yourself an old typewriter and put a piece of paper in it and don't have any judgments. Just see what comes up. It really can be magical. So all of my first drafts are being done that way. And then I go to the laptop and put it on a file. So
I think that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love it. I do want to ask, because I know probably a lot of people are thinking, how does she find the time to do all this? One of the things I always ask our guests is, what type of tips, tools, but maybe how are you able to balance it all?
Well, for me personally, it is about showing up every single day and doing something. I do a lot of multitasking, and I do try to always be mindful about it. But I can be making myself a cup of tea, which for me is very self-caring. And while I'm practicing my deep breathing, I'm also sitting with my notebook and I'm doing plots, or maybe I'm going through my past research of the concepts that I'm wanting to introduce in the next book. And so I'm doing my best. You know, if I'm doing yoga, sometimes I just let my mind relax around the whole creative process, what wants to come up. And so I believe the single most important tip for anybody looking to do anything, whether it's writing a book or a creative project or organizing their closet, you know, whatever is on the agenda of, maybe it's something that they've been wanting to do and they just haven't let themselves do it. My number one tip is show up. Just show up. If you've got 5 minutes, and I believe every one of us can carve out 5 minutes. If you've got 5 minutes and you can start your day thoughtfully and putting that 5 minutes toward whatever it is that your dream is, or your project, or anything that you're looking to accomplish, if you put 5 minutes toward it, I guarantee you it's going to put you in a very positive mindset for the rest of your day. And as you look back on your day, you can remember, wow, I started my day with just 5 minutes, and look at what happened. Maybe you put three words down. Maybe a color came to you. Maybe just a few sentences. Or if you're a painter, maybe you decided you wanted to work with green and blue in your next painting. It doesn't matter what the details are. We have to forget about the details and go for the feeling space, I think. Get into the mind space, let it flow. And if you let that 5 minutes be your own, your very own, to carve out your dream, that 5 minutes is going to be something you crave having another 5 minutes of. And so maybe the next day you'll have 7 minutes, right? And it can lead from there, but it doesn't have to ever be in big chunks. At least that's what has always worked for me. Just keep showing up, keep doing it, keep at it. And don't let your editor or your inner critic have any voice until you have a rough draft of something. Get your paint on the canvas, get your words on the paper, mark through it. Don't look for perfection. There's plenty of time for editing, but you have to let yourself be free to create first. So that's what I try to encourage people to do.
Well, that is one of the most brilliant tips I have ever heard. And I so appreciate you sharing that with our listeners today.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, Jean, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I do hope that you'll come back on sooner than last time and we can maybe just chat about some other things besides your book.
Candace, I would be happy to come on. I love speaking to you. I love our chats. I love laughing with you. Absolutely. You let me know and I will be back.
We will definitely do that. You know what? I'm going to mark it in my calendar.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Candace. I appreciate you so much.
And thank you. And to all of our listeners, as I was mentioning, I'm going to be posting all of Jean's information on our social media so that you can share it. And that's what's most important here, guys, is you like, share, comment, pass it on to these people that you know that are going to love this. These books are absolutely extraordinary and they're going to uplift so many people. So please share them with your friends and family. And also make sure to do something kind. It's so important to do a little bit of kindness because there's always that ripple effect. So until next time, everyone.
Thanks for listening. This show was brought to you by Divas That Care. Connect with us on Facebook, on Instagram, and of course on divasthatcare.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss a thing.